Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Today, we've decided to go inside our organization. As we have said many, many times, we have three people that we have hired who have advanced degrees in digital marketing, communication, and journalism. And we have one of them on with us today. This is Julia Ritchie. She's one of our internal social media people. She has done some great research on what is new in social media as of June of 2018. You've also heard that Kirk and I have talked about pleasing the algorithm, which is one of the things that we talk about internally a lot. And our three social media experts are the people who are always making sure that we're pleasing the algorithm. And so Julia did this great research to find out what we needed to do to continue to please the algorithm. So Julia, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about just kind of the from the high level. So we're going to get high level and then get a little bit deeper into each of the sections. And let's start with Facebook. So what were some of the things that really came out from your research on Facebook?
Well, on Facebook, a big thing that came out is that they're really working hard to try and keep people on their platform. So a study just came out this past month from Reuters Digital News Report, where they surveyed over 75,000 people in 37 countries on how they consume news digitally. And what they found is that because of the whole fake news phenomenon and the whole data scandal that Facebook has, is a lot of people are actually moving away from social media platforms as a place where they will get their news. And this is especially relevant for Facebook because they saw, according to the survey, a 9% drop in users who will go to Facebook for news in the past year. Wow. So they're really trying to work to bring back those people, not necessarily just for news, but in other ways where they can engage on the platform and keep them there, because they have found, really, especially with the younger population, that those users are no longer going to Facebook and instead are going elsewhere.
Well, let's talk about where they're going elsewhere. That was another big thing that happened with this digital news report. Where are the younger group? And when we say younger, we're saying like under 35, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So the younger crowd, they're mostly moving to apps like especially Instagram, I think is right now is the most popular with the younger crowd. And other apps like Snapchat and WhatsApp are places they will go to engage with each other and to find news. Whereas for the older population, which is 55 and up, there was actually no difference in the way they use Facebook.
Wow. Where are people consuming this information? Is it are phones still really kicking the butt?
Yes. So phones still going up. More and more people are getting smartphones. And now people are also using devices like voice activated speakers like Alexa and the iHome. And more people are actually using podcasts to listen to news as well.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, that's good for our company, because we're trying to get more and more financial services professionals to get on podcasts. In fact, you can say to Alexa, listen to X podcast, like one of the ones that our clients do, and it'll actually play the latest podcast. All right, let's move to advertising. So many people, Julia, talk to us, and I'm sure, I mean, we've had corporate meetings talking about advertising. In fact, we just did it for a client, and the results were not what we thought they were going to be. So what sort of changes have happened in advertising?
Yeah, well, now Facebook is really trying to diversify all the different types of ads that they will provide, while at the same time are trying to get a hold of the data that they have more control over it, that people are collecting. So they've made a new rule as of the start of July, where when you are creating and publishing ads on Facebook, you now have to disclose where you're getting your audience information when you're creating custom audiences. So if you're using specific, for example, zip codes to target a very specific target audience, you have to disclose where you got that information from, whether it was directly from your customers or if you bought them from data brokers or whatnot. That way, Facebook can try and eliminate the trend of purchasing information from third-party brokers who collect and try and sell people's information online.
So, Julia, what other things have Facebook made changes when it comes to advertising?
Well, as I said before, they've also tried to diversify where they're placing ads. So in addition to the places where you can already advertise, like in the news feed, they've also started placing video ads within their Messenger app. And these video ads are also auto playing. So they start playing by themselves as you're scrolling through your messages. And that's meant to try and catch your eye and make you watch whatever is being advertised. And they also have started placing ads in their marketplace section, which is a shopping page where people can buy and sell products locally. And these ads will appear right alongside the products and services that are being sold. And it is meant to be a place where advertisers can reach people where they're already shopping. So where they're already in that mindset of buying.
When last time I was doing an advertisement for a client, they had a button talking about automatic placements. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah. So when you're creating an ad and you select the option to automatically place your ads on Facebook, then Facebook will kind of determine what the best option is for where your advertisement will be placed among their different spaces that they have designated for advertisements.
Okay.
So that can be anywhere from the newsfeed, on Instagram, on Messenger, or in the marketplace.
Interesting. That to me is very, very smart on their part and could be hugely beneficial to us, those of us who advertise on Facebook, because I'm assuming that their algorithm is going to figure out where those ads are going to have the biggest bang for their buck. So we talked about people using their smartphones or their voice activated devices. What are some of the other changes that have happened with like those of us who still actually use a computer?
Yeah. So on the computer, they do make changes to the interface on the web from time to time. And one of the big things that did happen was they chose to remove the trending news section that was on the top of everybody's sidebar. And instead, they're going to be replacing it with a section called Today In, which instead will try and prioritize local news from local publishers and officials. And they'll also try to come out with a breaking news feature, which will promote news through about 80 partners that Facebook will partner with, publishers that they'll partner with, just to, again, try and combat the whole fake news and try to have more trusted and relevant news for each user.
I really like the memories thing. Now, I don't always share it, but I enjoy that. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so especially for people who have been using memories for a long time, you do from time to time get that memories pop up telling you, you know, how long you've been friends with someone or what happened on this day. And now they've kind of consolidated all of those memories into one place where you can find them called the memories page. And that is now accessible through the sidebar on the left on your Facebook on the desktop.
Gotcha. Let's talk about Messenger. A lot of people are starting to use Messenger as a preferred communication tool. What changes have been made there?
Yep. So there's only one change that happened this past month on Messenger, and that's they're starting to now play with their assistant on Messenger called M, who can now start to translate conversations from Spanish to English or vice versa. And that's still going through some testing right now, and it's only available in the US and Mexico, but I'm assuming it will soon be expanded to other languages.
Oh, how cool would that be? That would be really, really neat. Video has always been said to be the hottest thing on Facebook. If you post video, it's going to be preferred with the algorithm. But according to your research, there's been a lot of, not necessarily big changes, but a lot of tweaks to video. Can you share those with us?
Yeah, so video is definitely something that Facebook is really focused on. They're really trying to capitalize on the success of other video platforms. Like they did introduce a gamers portal on their Facebook page where gamers can live stream. And so that's kind of emulating the success that Twitch or YouTube has had with gamers live streaming their gaming. And they've also been tweaking their live stream features to try and make them more engaging with audiences. So now when you are using live stream, you can incorporate polls and quizzes into your videos. And that way you can ask your audience questions and they can engage with you while you're talking with them. And to even further that, they're also going to be testing out commercial breaks and putting ads in those as well and introducing subscriptions to videos. So they're really pushing the video platform, is trying to make it closer to other successful platforms such as YouTube, which do kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And yeah, so, and other things that they're doing with that, especially with the live videos, is they're now trying to really make the audio and the video, the audio and the music really readily accessible to users, because a lot of times on whatever platform you use, if you are using copyrighted music, then you cannot monetize those videos because of copyright. Mm-hmm. And so Facebook is really trying to get around that. And now they are going to start allowing videos with copyrighted works to be monetized. And they'll do that by compensating artists and labels with their own system that they have said will remain confidential. But they are planning to allow you to use music within your videos, which should, you know, really benefit people who are trying to publish content, especially on Facebook.
Wow. That's huge. And that's very interesting that they're working along with the Twitch or the YouTube model of being able to monetize stuff. Wow. And also giving due, right? That's something that has always concerned us, especially when we do the professional voiceover intros and outros for our podcast clients. You know, we have to make sure that we're getting music that's paying the actual creator of the music. So that's awesome. You know, music is a form of art and should be compensated, in my personal opinion. Now, groups and pages are going crazy on Facebook. Let's talk a little bit about groups.
Yeah, so it goes hand in hand with talking about compensation. Is now Facebook is actually looking to compensate admins of Facebook groups. So they're going to start allowing admins in Facebook groups to start charging their users subscription fees monthly. So right now, the only groups that can start having subscription fee are under the categories of parenting, cooking, and home cleaning. And they can charge anywhere from $4.99 to $29.99 a month for an exclusive membership to premium subgroups. And so what that really means is you would have your free group that you're already in, and then they can make a premium subgroup within that. So for example, if you're in a parenting group, you can pay a monthly fee for a, for example, a college application subgroup where you can have access to other parents who are giving you tips and advice and whatnot on helping your kid apply to college.
Now, for the financial services professionals who are listening to this, this could very well be a great way for you to open up groups within your practice, because for those of you who are able to charge fees for consultation, you could put this under fees for consultation. Now, Julia and I are having a really totally not fun research project next, which is Julia and I are diving into the new FINRA compliance regulations and the SEC compliance regulations pertaining to social media. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that on a later podcast on what we uncovered, especially when it comes to things like pages, groups, likes, asking people to like your page, you know, other things that seem to be overly controlled by social media, especially compliance departments and broker dealers. Now, we're going to switch gears. So we just talked about Facebook. There are a lot of advisors, especially younger advisors, who are actively using Twitter. Let's talk about Twitter. What are the changes there?
Well, Twitter actually just introduced this new side platform that would be great for people who are using Twitter to publish, which is called Twitter Media. And that's a website where publishers can go to learn more about the platform and how to use it the best way they can. So on Twitter Media, you can go and learn about the ins and outs of producing content that will do well on Twitter and potentially make money on Twitter. And they also give you best practice tips and also the latest info on all the changes that are going on Twitter, as well as various case studies and success stories about people who have really thrived on Twitter.
Cool. What was the user behavior change? Or you had a great stat about the behavior of people using Twitter.
Yeah, so a study was recently published about user behavior on Twitter, and what they found through a study of over 800 million tweets was that people who tweeted in the morning tend to tweet more analytical and logical thoughts, whereas at nighttime, their tweets tended to be more emotional, which is, you know, good information to have on, you know, the time of day and how that affects how people are thinking and how you want to curate your message to reach those people who are in that mindset.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Interface changes. Now, has Twitter done anything to make their platform a little bit more user friendly?
Yeah. So this month, Twitter did a huge overhaul on their Explore section. So before, it was all organized by content type, and it was horizontally organized, whereas now it looks more like your timeline and it is organized vertically. And it is now by topic rather than content type. So it'll be, for example, the World Cup would be its own topic and it would have all the trending articles that you need to see there. And then the next by whatever is most relevant for you and where you are.
Okay. Happening now. And so advisors use this for consuming information on Twitter. So what's happened with that?
Happening now has been expanded now, and especially in the sports section, which is really, you know, especially now with the World Cup, very relevant because it'll show you things that are breaking news, relevant info for any specific trending topic that is most relevant for you so that you can stay up to date with all the latest that is as it is coming out. And it will also push tweets and breaking news and personalized news as well to the top of your timeline.
Okay. Okay. Now, Facebook, because of the privacy concerns, really tightened up some of their API, the outside third-party applications. Has Twitter done anything similar?
Yeah. In August of 2018, there will be a new policy change on Twitter where they will be restricting what third-party applications can do. So applications will no longer be able to have a real-time stream of tweets. So if you use platforms like Hootsuite or anything like that, you can no longer see the feed in real-time as tweets are going out. Instead, you'll have to manually refresh to see new tweets. And kind of in the same vein, push notifications will also be changed through those third-party applications where you might no longer be able to get push notifications from them, or they might be a little bit delayed.
Okay. I'm sure some of our listeners are saying, okay, Facebook, Twitter, blah, 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 that's for kids. LinkedIn is the place for business. LinkedIn is where I spend most of my time. And there have been, there's a chunk of research here. So let's dive into LinkedIn.
Yeah. So LinkedIn has done a lot of changes on even just what your profile looks like now. So this is mostly just on the desktop and it will soon come out to mobile. But now on your profile, the top of your profile has all changed. And so your name, title, location, and profile photo are all on the left side of the screen now instead of on the center. And then your company, university, contact info, and connections at a glance will be on the right. And so because of this change, some people might have to go in and look and check that their cover photo is okay, because I know we've experienced with the change of the profile photo over to the left, it has sometimes blocked some, you know, important information on people's cover photos. So some tweaks might have to be made there. And another change is that now in your summary section, more of the summary will be shown before the Read More link. And you can also include more than one piece of media within your summary. So on the desktop, you can see the first six pieces of media that you link to that now. And on mobile, it will be the first three will be shown.
Okay. There have been some automatic things that have happened. This has happened, I think, on Facebook for many, many years. But LinkedIn decided to add some quick buttons. Can you talk about those?
Yeah. So LinkedIn now has a new feature called Kudos, which you can use to say thank you and show appreciation to other people. Right now, it's only on mobile, but I'm assuming if it becomes popular enough and if it does well, it will come to desktop as well. Mm-hmm. And how you use it is you just click on the ribbon icon at the top of your share box in your feed, and then you select the people you want to give kudos to. And then they have around 10 categories, which are stuff like their team player, amazing mentor, inspirational leader, stuff like that, in which you can give them kudos under.
Cool. Advertising. LinkedIn has never done well for the small business person. It's done very well for huge corporations that have crud tons of money. But let's talk a little bit about some of the changes that they've made with advertising.
So LinkedIn has introduced kind of a whole new type of ad this month, and they introduced something called the carousel ad. So that is an ad that has up to 10 swipeable cards, and each card can be customized. And this is said to allow advertisers to include multiple visuals and be able to show off products more in depth, and it's more interactive and eye-catching. And with it will also come, you know, the normal metrics that you get with your standard LinkedIn ads, and you'll also be able to see specific metrics for each card. And I guess because of the interactive and eye-catching facade of this, that it actually has proven to be successful with the brands that tested it out. So 75% of the 300 plus brands that beta tested this new ad did report that they are planning on using it again because they saw a rise in engagement and click-through with the ads. And one specific example that was published was RBC also tested the ad, and they reported that they saw two times the click-through rate compared to when they published just a normal LinkedIn ad.
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome to get a much better click-through rate? Kirk and I spend money on LinkedIn to beta test stuff for our clients because we are kind of our own test kitchen, and we have yet to see a nice ROI on our spend on LinkedIn. So I'm glad that they've made these changes. Now, Julia, as part of our social media team, one of the things that you do is you post for financial services professionals. Is there anything that happened through your research that is going to change how you post or when you post? Or what did you glean from this from a practical, since you do this for a living, application?
Well, I know that the interface changes, especially like the ones for LinkedIn, were something that, you know, I had to make time to go in and make sure that everything still looked the way it should. And, you know, summary has been extended, so whatever is being shown before the show more, you know, is still appropriate and makes sense in just what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's also good to know how people are using these platforms like Twitter, what mindset they're in, Facebook. You know, people are less there for news these days and more for engagement, especially with the change in algorithm in Facebook, which deprioritizes news from brands and publishers and instead is pushing more of your connections. So that really changes kind of the content that you want to be publishing on there. It has to be more serving to your audience rather than just, you know, what you want to say.
And engagement is the key. I was looking through my Facebook feed earlier just to prepare for this, just to see if I had noticed any changes. And Julia, one of the things that had come up from a bunch of financial advisors who were clients of mine years ago when I was a consultant, it's interesting to see the very personal posts, you know, things that they're doing within the community, non-financial advisor specific jargony reposting of other people's articles are showing up in a much greater, just more often in my feed. So everybody here at Top Advisor Marketing and all of our listeners for the Top Advisor Marketing podcast, thank you so much for doing this research. And for all of our listeners, this is the sort of stuff that we do behind the scenes. And we just thought it would be fun. Kirk and I decided that it would be great to just kind of show you under the hood of the level of dedication that our team has with our social media and our podcasting team to make sure that when you do bring us on board as your social media partner, that you've got people just like Julia right there helping you make sure that you're staying up to date on absolutely everything that has to do with changes to make sure that we're ahead of the game, because a lot of other people do things very reactive in our industry and we try to do things on the front end. So Julia, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please make sure you subscribe now. That way, every time something like this happens within Top Advisor Marketing, or we have a podcast that we just think is going to be the bee's knees and something that you should listen to, it'll show up directly on your listening device. And if you know anybody who's within the social media world, within your practice or within your broker dealer, share this podcast with them, because it doesn't really matter if you hire us or not. The research that Julia did really shines the light on the major social media changes. And we want to be that hub for you to make sure that you know what's going on in the world of social media, because social media changed the way that we fundamentally communicate today. And it is the place you have to be. The cost of business has changed. The way that you've communicated with your clients up until really about a year, year and a half ago, everything has changed. You have to exist on social media. You have to exist on multiple platforms, and you have to budget and allocate different money when it comes to communication, because if you're not there when your client is there in the medium in which they want to be consuming your information, you don't exist and you're not as referable. So for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing and Kirk Lowe specifically, this is Matt Halloran saying thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.